Good morning. It is good to see you all out, and it's good for you to join in and tune in with us. If you are doing so this morning, we're so grateful that you have been able to be with us and to join us here at Ephesus for our 11:15 Bible study. I'll go ahead and extend the invitation to you to return and come back this evening or to stream in online. We want you to be part of our Bible study. It's going to reach, in some ways, all aspects of your life and age ranges, and we are going to look at the Bible, and hopefully, maybe, not hopefully that you haven't looked at the Bible in this way, but hopefully it will be beneficial to you to look at it in this way, and everyone will be able to grow from it. I think it's going to be about three or four lessons long in that particular study, and then we may change gears a little bit. But I want you to come and to look at your Bible with us this evening. We're going to look at this morning the grace of David. King Saul. It's a different Saul altogether, different ends of the Bible. Saul and David had a strained relationship from the very beginning, really. When you think about David coming before Saul, and he says, you know, I'm going to go out and kill this Philistine, this great Philistine. I'm going to go out and kill this giant. And we have the story that we have all heard, and even non-believers, even non-Bible believers have heard the story of David and Goliath, and how David and Goliath's stories intrigue and they inspire anyone and everyone across the world, because they all like for the little man to take down the big man. Well, from ever since that moment, King Saul kind of always looked at David and went, you know, this little twerp is going to be a pain in my side. Because the people were encouraged by David, and they would sing and chant, you know, Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens thousands. It became evident to Saul that David was to have his throne. And David and Saul had this battle between them and their militias and the army of King Saul, and they had their little skirmishes and battles. And all along the way, David is, maybe not all along the way, but from time to time, David gets opportunity to put Saul up and to cut him down and to make him no more. And in 1 Samuel chapter 24, we have a couple of times where this happens. We have an event here where it happens. And David says to Saul in verse 9, he says, why do you listen to the words of men who say, indeed, David seeks your harm? David had come before Saul and he said, you know, David, Saul, I'm not after you. God has appointed you to be king. And that's what, if I'm going to respect God and I'm going to love God and I'm going to use God's authority in my life and to lead my life, then as Him putting you in place to be king, I can't take you. It is not time yet for me to kill you. It is not even up to me to kill you. It is up to God to decide when it is my time to take over the throne. And so up until that day, it is my time to take over the throne. I will bow down and I will worship you as king that God has anointed. In verse 17, Saul tells David, you are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt with me, for when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safely? Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And in verse 21 and verse 22, we have Saul still speaking, and he says, swear to me, therefore, by the Lord, that you will not cut off my offspring after me, and that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David swore this to Saul, and then Saul went home. But David and his men went up to the stronghold. You say, when you were going to become king, In this time, you didn't just say, well, all right, well, I'm king. That's the way it's going to be. Everybody just, all right, I'm taking over now. You just go over and sit on the bench. We'll be on. It's not the way it went down. If you were going to take over the throne and you were going to take over the kingdom, you went in and you took out the king. And you killed him. And then you killed anybody in his family that might just happen to have a chance to take over the throne too. And that might having a chance is just the fact that they've got that blood running through their veins. And so you take care of them too. And so Saul is asking this of David. He says, if you will just not cut out everyone from beneath me. Is there some way, some form, some fashion that because of the way that you have loved Jonathan, because of the relationship that you and Jonathan have had, would you allow someone in my family to keep on keeping on? In 2 Samuel chapter 9, we get introduced to this idea of the grace of David. There we go. 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning of verse 1. It says, and David said, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. The king said to him, are you Ziba? He said, I am your servant. And the king said, is there not still someone in the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God, show the kindness of God to him? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet. And the king said to him, well, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, he is in the house of Micah, the son of Amiel, at Lodebar. And then the king sent and brought him from the house of Micah, the son of Amiel, at Lodebar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, Mephibosheth! He answered, behold, I am your servant. And David said to him, do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father. And you shall eat at my table always. And he paid homage and said, what is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I? Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, all that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and bring in the produce, and your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. There we go. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king commands his servants, so will your servants do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem and he ate always at the king's table. And now he was lame in both his feet. The name Mephibosheth is a name that if you try to say it 10 times fast, you won't get it right every time. And it's also a name that if you try to put it in a PowerPoint, spell check, don't know what you're doing, and it's a long name for me to spell. So if you go out and you look at this and you say I misspelled something, just tell me, I'll fix it for next time. We have a story here of how David gets his chance to make good on his promise that he had made in 1 Samuel chapter 24. And he makes it with the son of Jonathan, the man of whom David loved so much, the man of whom was always there for David, even when his father sought out to kill him, a man who had even said, David, it is God who has appointed you to take over the throne one day and not I. and we'll do what God wants and we'll do what God desires. As David had promised, he makes good on his promise. He asks, is there anyone in the house of Saul? Is there anybody, anywhere left that is from the lineage of Saul that I may show the kindness of whom? Of God unto them. Is there not anybody? And then one of the old servants of Saul, he said, well, you know what? He's still got a grandson left. Mephibosheth. Jonathan's son's left. And let me tell you something, though. It's Jonathan's son. He's crippled in both his feet. He's lame. He can't walk. Well, David was seeking out to do a good deed and to make good on his promise to one person. Is there anyone left? And lo and behold, it would happen. Mephibosheth lived out his days eating at the king's table. You know, there's a lot of things that we look at when we see a Mephibosheth. Yeah, maybe it's someone that is undeserving, unwilling, maybe unable to do good for themselves. Oftentimes overlooked and cast out by society. Regardless of who they were, or their parents were, or their grandparents were, or their great-grandparents were. They throw it out because they have some incapacity, or maybe they just have some bad luck. Maybe of no fault of their own, or maybe some wrongdoing of someone else. Maybe they were dropped or fallen like Mephibosheth. But either way, they're not with the rest of the people. And they're... maybe they just don't fit in. Maybe it just things don't seem right. Maybe that person or that thing is you. The thing about grace that David showed to Mephibosheth, it brings to my memory a lot as we lean toward the end of this lesson of the story, the parable of the lost sheep. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, it says, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Who do you think, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 that never went astray. So it was not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. The shepherd goes out to do good to one. No, there's this one that is out and it's far away. And I said, and I took on the responsibility to take care of all these. And now there's one that's missing. The lost sheep and Mephibosheth. Both were given a grand home and a place. Mephibosheth was invited back to the king's table and to sit and to eat all the days of the remaining of his life. He was given back the fields that his grandfather once had, the produce that came from him, the livestock that was there. The lost sheep was given back the home. Lost and astray and far away. Left lonely. And maybe even by some forgotten. But yet was brought back home and brought back to its proper place. Neither one of them deserved the act of kindness. Mephibosheth didn't do anything. He could not do anything for his reward to be given to him. It couldn't be earned. The lost sheep didn't, you know, do anything to deserve to be saved and be gotten. It could be by their own choice and their own errance and their own arrogance and ignorance, maybe even, that they chose to wander off into new place, to greener pastures. It could be the fact that they just did. They simply just got lost. They fell asleep and the herd, the 99, went on down to a different part of the valley and they never heard the bah, and they didn't get up and they just got left behind. they didn't do anything to deserve this extra act of kindness. It could not be earned, and nothing they could ever do could ever repay it. The lost sheep could never do anything back to thank the shepherd enough for what he did, leaving everyone else and coming after me. Mephibosheth could not do anything to ever repay David for what he had done about rising him up and more or less restoring him to his place that he would have had before. He could not repay it. Neither could repay it. But yet the grace of the Good Shepherd comes to us too. We in a like manner are a Mephibosheth, or maybe a lost sheep. Because there was the grace of the Good Shepherd that we get to see. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We don't deserve it, we couldn't earn it, and we can never repay it. Just like Mephibosheth. Just like the lost sheep. Nothing that we could do to ever make it right. Nothing we ever did to make us stand out above the crowd and as being worthy or honorable or righteous or... There's nothing that we could do. No, not a thing. We are like Mephibosheth. We are crippled in our feet. And only by the love of a king, only by the love that a shepherd would have for his sheep, like David, like Christ. Nothing that we could do. But yet Christ laid down his own life for us as lost sheep so that we could be restored back to the king's table. We're here this morning to honor and thank God, but we can never say thank you enough. We can never bring Him enough glory and honor for who He is and what He is and what He represents and what He's done for me and you in your life. Because He took us, a lost sheep. A lost sheep that we were seemingly crippled in our feet. And brought us back to the table to sit and to dine with the King for all of eternity. And what He has done for you is He has said, here is the table. The price has been paid. And now He has pulled the chair out for you to sit down. All by putting your faith and your love in the Good Shepherd that laid down His life for His sheep. Are you here this morning and you need to obey the gospel call? If you need prayers of forgiveness, if you need encouragement, if you have anything of need, this is the opportunity, this is the time, and we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.